Hi, my beautiful queens and kings. It is your one and only Queen Deesh here. So I'm excited and delighted. I have Coach Energy with me, which of course you know for me means Queen Coach Energy with us today. Hello there.
Hello, girl. How are you?
I am doing well, doing well. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Yes, thank you for having me.
So I'm going to give just a little bit about her, and then I, of course, will let the queen herself, let her tell us a little bit about herself in her own words. So Coach Energy is a transformational keynote speaker, certified breakthrough life and relationship coach, court-registered civil mediator, court-registered family and divorce mediator, court-registered arbitrator, and she's an author. Well, a snap, snap to that. So how about you just tell us in your own words, who is the fabulous Queen Coach Energy?
Oh, thank you. So hello, everyone. Hello to all of your listeners. Again, just thank you for allowing me to speak and be a part of your platform. But I am Coach Energy. And just so everyone knows, because I typically get asked this question, yes, Energy is my real name. So let's just say that up in the, you know, up in the beginning, up front, let's get that out of the way.
Yes.
I'm known as the self-mastery coach, where I work with high achievers who want to learn how to master their mind, master their emotions, and master their assignment so they can live their purpose and live on purpose. And additionally, I also am known as the single parents coach. So that's a whole nother segment, a whole nother section of people and an audience type, to where I work with both single fathers and single mothers to help them co-parent, to help those who are just in the single parent phase, to help them move on, so forth and so on. Ultimately, everything that I do, from the mediation, the arbitration, the coaching, the speaking, it's all involving personal development. Mm-hmm. It's all involving self-improvement. And my main thing while I'm here on this earth, I'm in this position and doing all these things because I've answered that calling that God has in my life. Amen. So I do believe and I have accepted that this is my assignment and I am walking in my purpose as well. And with doing all of that, my main goal, my mission, my vision is to help people realize the beauty of life and the fact that life is worth living, ultimately. So that's a little bit about me in a nutshell to kind of go with the additional part that you read as well.
Oh, I love it. I love it. So I heard you mention the single moms and the single dads. You know, of course, we all know a lot of what we tend to discuss tends to a lot of times come from things that we ourselves have experienced. So tell us where that sort of came from for you. Is that something specific that happened to you? Where did that come from?
Yeah, so one thing about me, I only teach on, speak on, coach on, mentor on things that I personally have experienced, things that I can actually say, hey, I've lived this, I've walked the walk, now I can talk the talk. Mm-hmm. And so I became a single parents coach because I am a single parent by way of a divorce, but then even further by way of now full abandonment from my ex-husband. I've been divorced at the time of this recording, going on 15 years later this year. And so from there, I had to navigate being a parent, being then a single parent. You know, I did navigate the waters of co-parenting as well. That's a whole nother beast. And that's a whole nother situation there when the other parent is involved and things are just not copacetic. And then being a full single parent, that's, it's interesting if I use that term. It's a very type of interesting type of lifestyle that you have to just kind of mold yourself into. It's a different way of thinking, a different way of living, and it can break a lot of people down if they don't have the right mindset, if their emotions are not in control, and if they're not focused on the end goal. So it came from what I experienced, a lot of the things that I went through. Almost or could have broken me down, could have made me just stop and say, forget it, let me become that statistic, drop my kid off, right, and keep it moving. But I refused to do that. And I knew what it took within myself. I knew what it took as far as the energy, the mindset, the faith. I knew everything that it took in order for me to be where I am today. And a lot of people just don't have that within them. And most of the time it's due to lack of knowledge and or due to lack of like the know-how, like where, you know, where do I start? What tools do I need? Or even knowing that there is another way, knowing that there's other options out there of how they can actually live as a single parent and enjoy life. It doesn't have to be traumatic or, you know, disruptive. It really doesn't. So that's where it came from my personal experience. And I, you know, it hurts my heart whenever I see parents just kind of go through the various things that we tend to go through once we separate and there's a kid involved. Sure. And I'm just tired of seeing it without doing something about it. So at this point, it's like, okay, enough is enough. Let me see what I can do to kind of help out.
Well, I love that, you know, and I think it's so important for you, for us as women, especially to share our stories, because, you know, it does help empower and inspire other women. A lot of us tend to think that we are the only ones going through what we're going through. And usually we're not. It's just some people don't have the courage to talk about it and they don't want to talk about it. That's what kind of this platform allows for. You know, I have women come on here that are, you know, everyday women. You know, it's not people who are celebrities and, you know, high up like that. No, I want to celebrate us, and I want us to know that all of us are similar. We're going through the same things, maybe at different times, but in most cases, we're going through the same things. And so I really appreciate you sharing that because trust me, I imagine someone that would listen to this, if it's not her, she knows somebody that is going through that or has gone through that. So I definitely appreciate that. You talk about, you know, someone not having the tools. What does that, you know, kind of look like? Because I'm not a single parent, but I know there are women, again, who are listening to this who may be going through that, honestly, you know, and they may feel like they have no one, or they have no idea and may want to give up. You know, what's kind of something that they can kind of do to maybe get in a better space, even just mentally?
Exactly what you just spoke on, the part about not having anyone or not knowing if they have anyone. That's the first place that I would start, or when it comes to tools, having someone in your corner, having someone that's there that can support you through this. Whether you have to be careful, not those friends that are just in your corner amening you, saying, yeah, girl, forget him, or yeah, girl, you know, you need someone who's going to help you think clearly, logically, get your emotions under control. So if you do have a friend that has that ability, then that would be awesome. Otherwise, if your parent, sometimes a lot of us have parents who've been in the same situation. It's kind of like a cycle, you know, through the family. Right. So if you have a parent that has gone through the same situation, but you've seen that they've come out on the other end and they're healthy, you know, their mindset is healthy, their emotions are healthy, then reach out to a parent or go to a professional. A coach, therapist, counselor, start somewhere there.
Okay. And I think that's really good advice. You know, I know there's a lot of times negative connotations maybe, or stereotypes, if you will, around going to therapy. You know, what would you say to someone who's kind of on the fence about that? Because you and I kind of know, being in the personal growth and personal development space, the importance of working on yourself. But this might be fairly new to some women listening. So how would you tell her to kind of go about that with the stereotype about therapy?
Yeah. So I'm going to say one of those cliche sayings that we hear just in case someone hasn't heard it yet. But we go to a dentist when we have a toothache. We go to a mechanic whenever there's something wrong with our car. We have a coach whenever we are joining a sports or an athletic type of team.
Yes.
So we have all of these other coaches, other mentors, people who have the experience, people who have been there, done that, with all these other things in life. So use that same technique, follow the same type of path or template when it comes to matters of the mind and matters of the heart. So don't think of it as being something negative or people are going to judge you for it or whatever, or thinking that you're crazy just because you may have to go see a therapist. It's nothing about that. It's about you taking the steps to better yourself, because you're the only person who can live your life, and you only have one life to live. Mm-hmm. Another thing that I say, especially with me officially being a coach and not a therapist, I say, you know what? Start with a coach. If you're, you know, if you don't like the whole term or terminology of, you know, seeing a therapist, that's fine. Start with a coach. Because sometimes a coach is all you need. Sure. Sometimes most of us, we tend to think that we're so far off or so far gone and that we need a therapist. Mm-hmm. In some cases, yes. But for a lot of people, they just need a coach to kind of help them work out the little things that are kind of like jumbled, you know, sure. that have made it like a mess within sure. their mind or within their heart or, you know, with all the emotions and just not knowing what to do or how to deal with their emotions. Mm-hmm. And if you aren't, if you're totally against seeking a therapist or a counselor, then start with a coach. There's no stigma around that.
I think that's good advice. No, I never thought about that because it's so true. You know, if you're not ready for a therapist or a psychologist, you know, start with a coach. I think that's excellent, excellent advice, ladies. You know, don't ever feel, you know, judged or feel like something's wrong with you. You know, I personally think everyone should sit on somebody's couch at some point, you know, and even if that's a virtual couch, but I mean, we all need help, right? We all need help. We all have issues. Coaches have coaches. And the perfect analogy in, you know, a basketball team, they have a coach. All these athletes have coaches. So it's definitely not a negative thing. We all deserve to speak to someone who can see objectively, you know, and just be able to kind of help us figure out that mess that we kind of maybe put ourselves in. But either way, they're going to look at it very objectively. And I think that's the thing that women should be hopefully open to, because it's definitely not about judgment at all, I would say. Not about judgment at all. Okay, so take us kind of back to the beginning of maybe how you got on this journey. You know, I know that you said you are, you know, a single mom, but aside from that, you know, was there something maybe that happened in your life, or what was kind of the point where you kind of sort of got into this space and figured like, you know, this is what I'm supposed to do?
All right, here we go. So you said take you back. It's so funny. Every time I tell the story, I love to kind of take people back to the very, very beginning. Of course, at some point, I never knew what a coach was. I never even knew what a mediator was or anything like that. You know, those were positions, roles, jobs that were not popular until most recently. However, my introduction to this whole personal development, effective communication, helping people see the positive in situations, my first official diving in or experience with this was back in sixth grade. The school that I went to, they created a new program for that year. That was the first year that they created it, where out of the entire school, they chose two students. I was one of those students who were chosen as a peer mediator.
I remember that.
So yes, oh my gosh. So as a peer mediator, we spoke with the school counselors. They taught us certain things, taught us different techniques, and they kind of built and gave us, you know, trainings of how to listen with different ears, yes. how to speak to different people, but still being very relatable and having empathy and sympathy. And at that age, that was my first introduction to it. And ever since then, I've been involved in mediating or coaching ever since. And that, wow. again, at the time of this recording, will put me at almost two decades of being in it. And so from there, as far as what I also just, you know, in general may also have experienced, I was never one of those students or kids who hung around or was raised with kids my age. Okay. So I was always around the elders in my family, or my older cousins and then their friends, mm-hmm. my older brother and his friends. Mm-hmm. And I grew up as a tomboy as well. So I was always active. I was always around like the guys, you know,
yeah.
learning how to change oil in a car, changing tires. And so with that, I say that because then my dad, he, you know, took me on long drives when we were going car shopping or, you know, looking for different parts. And he would just talk to me about life and men and, you know, how to just kind of get myself prepared. You know, he taught me things about how to respect the man, how to, you know, make sure that as the woman in the household that I'm maintaining my role. And well, not in a sense of gender roles, sure. but I'm doing my part and making sure, sure I respect my husband, so therefore he can do his part as well, and respect me as well. My mom, I did a lot of volunteering with her in her job. She's into the school system. And so that got me into just the communication part. That part opened me up out of my shell. It taught me a little bit more about, okay, different people. How are you, how do you show up whenever you're communicating with people that are in their 50s at that time, and I'm still a young adult, you know, sure. How to put on that brave face and be able to communicate with confidence and clarity as well, and to be concise also. So having those two totally different parents and their styles within the same house, and those types of teachings and the experiences from there, I was able to see a lot, and I experienced and was around a lot, but then also I was privy to a lot of conversations, conversations that your average teenager or young adult wasn't privy to. Sure. And so with seeing what a lot of people were going through, I was like, man, like, I don't want to have to go through that when I get older. You know, I don't want to have to go through that when I become an adult, or, sure, you know, when I'm a parent, I don't want to have to deal with that. And so always kind of being on the outside looking in, I have a very analytical mind, and I would just be sitting there listening and saying, but, you know, well, what if you did it this way? Then you wouldn't have, you know, found yourself in that position. Or, well, had you maybe done it this way instead, or maybe have said it with a little bit more grace, or, you know, sure, been, you know, had a different mindset, or, you know, instead of being so aggressive with, you know, coming into this, you know, into the room or into your house and just, you know, yapping, sure, you know, at your spouse or even your kids, sure, then maybe your household energy and the environment wouldn't be as rambunctious as it is. And so because I've been able to kind of live through other people and their stories and their experiences, is how I said, you know what, I don't want to go through that. I'm going to learn from these other people. I don't want to have to learn the hard way. So I'm going to take these lessons, the good and the bad, and then turn it into something that I can actually use in a positive way moving forward in my life. So in a nutshell, that's pretty much the journey of how I got started and why I am where I am today.
Okay, love it. I love that. I was also a peer. That is so cool. Like, I feel like we're old or something, although we're not old. But I mean, oh my gosh, I wonder if they still do that in schools now.
I haven't heard about it in a long time.
Yeah, oh my gosh, I was a peer. That's, yeah, see, no coincidence that the universe brought us together. That's so crazy. Wow. Okay. I love that. So then did you, along that journey, so was it more so, you know, reading books? Was it attending events? Like, what exactly does that look like? I may understand that, but for someone listening, you know, what exactly does that look like in terms of, you know, growing and getting into personal growth and development? What did that look like for you?
So definitely attending events. You know, I'm always big on knowledge. I love knowledge. I'm like a sponge. Anything that you can teach me, I want to learn and then turn it and tweak it into my own thing. So I attended a lot of events, again, especially with my mom. She always had me with her, you know, going to these different showcases or going to the different seminars and workshops. So my mom gave me that experience. Okay. And then from there, I have to say this, I don't know your audience, but respectfully, my faith in God is hands down the foundation that I stand firm in and that I stood firm in even back then. Because at the time, or until I kind of developed certain tools and skills, I didn't have any of those. So the only thing that I did have was my faith in God. Mm-hmm. Like, one thing that he promised me in the word was that his word will not return void. And so I just stood on that and I just kept moving through. But then outside of that, once I really got serious into, you know, really needing to, not saying needing, but really seeing where more and more people, more and more clients were coming and that needed additional assistance or that were going through other things, I wanted to make sure that I did my part and invested in myself. So that's the sure. knowledge. So then that's when I sought out a coach myself, a trainer, a mentor as well. And just a combination of all of those, I did a lot of reading, I did a lot of research. And I removed myself from everyone. whether it be even from the personal dating scene. I remove myself from that in order to go through my own journey, in order to make sure that I cleared my own baggage out, to make sure that I wasn't holding on to anything, making sure that I didn't have things that were deeply rooted that I, sure. you know, was not aware of or was still trying to suppress. So it really took what it took was for me to just remove myself from everything and everyone over time. It took some years, you know, just a combination of all of these things in order to get to where I am today. And I still use a lot of those techniques and those same ways of how I absorb knowledge. I still use those to this day because it works.
It does.
So yeah,
I invested
in myself, invested in my peace, invested in solitude, invested in reading. I listen to scriptures all the time. You know, sure. I always had to make sure that I received things that would help counteract the negativity that was going on here in this, you know, out here in the world that we live in, whether it sure. be the negative stuff in music, movies, mm-hmm. what we see on TV, the conversations that we hear, the things that we see on the news. Yeah. I had to balance it out with something positive. So I listened to a lot of scriptures and podcasts and things like that. So.
Excellent. That's a really good point that you made, you know, having to balance that out. You know, something that I have continually mentioned on my podcast is for people not to watch the news before they go to bed, for example. You know, stop taking in all of that negativity right before you go to sleep, because your mind is going to observe all of that, you know. So I absolutely agree with balancing. You know, I'm not telling you can't listen to your trap music. I'm not telling you that, right? I'm just saying there needs to be a balance. And you heard it here. Coach Energy said there has to be a balance, okay? No one is telling you you can't have fun and live life. I'm not telling you not to watch the news. My suggestion is simply that it is not the last thing that you watch right before you go to bed, because the subconscious mind is going to be taking all of that in. And I also say not to let that be sort of the first thing that you watch when you wake up as well, because your mind is sensitive like the first 20 minutes, you know, that you wake up as well. So we want to infuse you. We want to get your mind in a place where you've got some positivity coming in, whether it's scriptures, like she said. For me, I'm very much into positive affirmations. You know, I am all for the positive everything. Like even in the car, I don't have the radio on. I have affirmations playing in my car. Mm-hmm. You know, yeah. So I definitely agree with her on that. There needs to be a balance. Okay. Just balance it out. No one's telling you to cut everything out that you like, but let's make sure that we're counteracting, you know, all of that negativity with some positive things, because it definitely makes a difference, right?
That's right.
Excellent. So for the woman who is kind of new, you know, we heard about, you know, different tools and things like that. You know, you're also a life and relationship coach. And we know that, you know, you have been on the single, you've been a single mom. So what would you say is your perspective on why women sometimes settle? We'll leave it at that. Why do you believe, what is your perspective on why you think some women settle?
Juicy question. Unfortunately, in my opinion, it boils down to them not knowing their value, not knowing their worth. And I know we say that, or it's heard and it's said a lot, but truly knowing what your values are will help a woman, people in general, but for this question, will help a woman not settle. Because if you've already taken that time to determine what your values are, then when it comes to work, relationships, personal relationships, platonic, intimate, you name it, you will know, okay, does this align with my values? Does this person, this position, this conversation, mm-hmm. does it align with my values? And if it doesn't, then you can make a wiser decision and a decision that you're more confident in. Mm-hmm. Additionally, I would also say that at some point in life or over time, women settle because they no longer trust themselves. They don't trust themselves anymore. They no longer have faith in that intuition, in their instincts.
Yep.
And they have to repair that. They have to do the work to figure out, I'm not going to say they have to. A suggestion would be to go into their past, do the work. It may be painful, but it's temporary, but it's so worth it as well. To figure out where did it happen? Where's the disconnect? At what point did you determine that you failed yourself, that you were not able to trust you anymore? So I'll pause it there.
Oh, absolutely. Because you know we can go on with this topic for hours. No, that's spot on. Absolutely spot on. You know, a woman not knowing her worth and value. You know, I actually even take it back to, which I mentioned my first book, which is the No More Broken Records book, is the fairy tale. You know, I think a lot of women are conditioned with the fairy tale, you know, and so you have a society where you condition a woman to grow up with these, you know, Barbie dolls and playing house and waiting for, I guess Barbie waits for Ken to come home. And you basically condition her to attach her worth and value to being a wife or being in a relationship, you know, whatever her relationship status is. And so she takes that conditioning now into adulthood, and it can manifest in settling because her mindset, she's looking for the fairy tale. Even if there's red flags everywhere, I mean, everywhere, her mindset is, you know, I have to become somebody's wife. You know, I have to have the two kids and the dog and the white picket fence all by 30, because, you know, 30 is the magic number in our society. So she takes that fairy tale conditioning into her adulthood, and she's just willing, unfortunately, to accept anything, any piece of a man, breadcrumbs, she's willing to accept anything because in her mind, that's what she's supposed to do, right? So that's where I kind of go all the way back to even the fairy tale conditioning, which might be a little bit more old school, if you will, but nonetheless, it's still the same, because I honestly, I have no idea what cartoons are out nowadays, but at least back in the day, you know, we had what, Cinderella, was it Sleeping Beauty? I feel like I'm missing one. You probably know.
Beauty and the Beast, Little Mermaid.
Oh, right. See, oh my gosh. Right. So, I mean, all of these things, but I think some Cinderella was kind of a big one, you know, the prince and all of that. So, you know, all of those things can cause a woman to settle when she becomes an adult, especially if she believes that her worth is attached to her relationship status. And if she believes that, you know, her life goal is to, you know, have kids or to become a wife. And I stand firm on the fact that I, of course, am not against women having children. Of course, I'm not against marriage. I'm not against any of that. My intention and what I want women to do, of course, is to just open up their minds to a different perspective and to realize that there are some things that we are all conditioned with. Right? We are conditioned, we are programmed with. And that usually happened or started from when we were a child, which of course we don't have any control over. But once we become adults, this is where now we get to challenge those beliefs. We get to do the inner work. And ironically enough, I'm not sure if you agree, but it doesn't seem like a lot of women sometimes are investing in themselves. You know, you talk to people sometimes and you can clearly kind of tell they're not really doing any type of inner work. Why do you think that is?
I think because what I see women invest in themselves, but it's more so externally. It's more so in the vanity and being able to invest in things to where they feel they'll be accepted by other people, whether it be men or women. So, and I think that they don't invest in themselves as far as the inner work, they're the person, because they don't see the value in it. They see the value in, okay, well, these bags or shoes or body, is what other people are going to see. And this is what's going to get me to that next place. This is what's going to get me to the next level, because people are able to see this and see my value in these things and these items and the materials. So I think it's just a lack of true understanding of where to invest and the importance of investing in self versus the external material
validation.
Yeah, absolutely too.
And I think too, it's important who people hang around. Can you talk to us a little bit about the importance of the people we are hanging around and how that can affect us?
Yes. So whenever you're around someone, especially for extended periods of time, you slowly and slowly start to become like them, to where the minds become alike. The way that you talk becomes like that person. The things that you say, the things that you think, your thought process, the way that you react to certain things becomes like the people that you are around. So you really need to be, it's suggested to be mindful of who you allow yourself to spend time with, because we're constantly taking in information, whether it be within our eyes, with what we are, of course, eating, and with what we're hearing as well. We're taking in information constantly. And so we need to guard that. We need to guard what we are allowing ourselves to receive, because whatever you receive is going to do its work within you, and then it's going to come out. So if you're starting to see certain actions, or hearing yourself speak a certain way, or starting to notice certain thoughts within yourself, and it's not recognizable, like to you, it may seem abnormal. And that's because you may be talking like someone else. You may be speaking like someone else. You may be mimicking the thoughts of someone else based off of the people that you've been around. Mm-hmm. So you really need to protect yourself. You need to protect your heart. You need to protect everything about you, and just really be mindful about the people that you surround yourself with, because there is true transference in everything that we do.
Ooh, honey, she just said a mouthful, y'all. I'm sorry. She just said a mouthful. Ooh, yes, honey. The law of association, right? It says we're the sum of the five closest people that we spend most of our time with. So there is truth to that. Ladies, we queens, we have to be very mindful of who we're around, right? I really like the book, Secrets of the Millionaire Mind by T. Harv Eker. One of the first books that I read, which I absolutely love. And so to this day, I will always stand by that book. I want to say it was that book, but don't quote me.
Okay.
Where I think he broke down limited associations and something else. But the fact of the matter is, ladies, is that at some point, if you absolutely start to invest in yourself, really get into personal growth and personal development, things are going to change, okay? Things are going to change. And at some point, you're going to feel different. And then you will likely feel different around certain people. So the same people you may have grown up around, if you really start to get on this path, you might find yourself not really feeling connected to them anymore. And you're going to question it, because I know I have. Have you, has this happened to you?
Absolutely.
Okay, so it's going to happen. One, transformation is a process. But when you really start investing in yourself, things are going to change, and your circle is going to change. I would say it's inevitable. Would you agree with that?
Absolutely. It's going to happen. Because either you won't be able to stand being around those people anymore because their mindset, just you no longer agree with it, or they won't be able to stand being around you because you're no longer operating at their, you're not vibrating, on the same level of where they may be vibrating. So one of y'all are going to say, right. You know what? It was good knowing you.
Right.
Have a good life.
right. And all I could say is, ladies, don't be sort of scared or afraid of the process. You know, we're speaking from experience, and I have your best interest at heart naturally. And I believe that Coach Energy has your best interest at heart. I have an intention for the people that I bring on this podcast, for one. And so I have no question or doubt about her and her ability and her skill to be able to help you, right? But it is a process. And as you grow, you are going to outgrow things. And that does include people. And so as she said, it is very important who your circle is, who you're around, because as she said, you're gonna start kind of picking up things from them. Like, they have an effect on you, you have an effect on them. And if that's not really, you know, who you really need to be around anymore, we definitely suggest that you just be mindful of that. Start to really, I would say, take inventory of your circle and just think about where you want to be. You know, it could be, okay, today this is where I'm at, whether you're happy or unhappy. But, you know, if something needs to change in your life, where are you right now? And who are you currently around? And are those people in alignment with where you're saying that you would like to go? If you have a goal, are those people going to be the ones that could probably help you get there? You know, and if not, Coach Energy, what would you suggest the ladies do? If they really start to take that inventory, how would you suggest they kind of go about maybe making those necessary changes in their life?
I would say in a very subtle and respectful, but and also gradual. It doesn't have to be anything that's so like big and grand. You know, you can do it very easily, gently, gradually, and just slowly remove yourself from certain groups, from certain conversations. Go through your phone and see what groups or types of people are you following. Who are you associated with in a virtual world as well, not just even in a physical personal world. So it could start there, and then being mindful or taking inventory also of where you spend your time from the time that you wake up until the time that you go to bed as well. And seeing, okay, where are you, you know, where are you assigning a lot of this time right now? If you see where most of your time is spent on the phone, gossiping, or, you know, in these chat groups or whatever, and you're not, it's not really being productive, or it's not conducive to you growing, then slowly remove yourselves from those groups or turn off the notifications. A little bit of work and just taking that first initial step, that will help create the momentum and get the ball going and get the ball rolling to where over time it will become easier and easier. And then you'll see the larger changes starting to happen. So in order to not bite off more than you can chew, or to make this process not seem too scary, just take one little step. Start with one group, removing yourself from that group. Or if you already know of a friend, as you're listening to this, if you already know that there's a friend in mind that we may have been describing that may have came to your mind, or sure, you know, someone that's in your heart that you're thinking of, maybe start with that person and slowly wean yourself off of the amount of times that you speak with them throughout the day or throughout the weeks, and or even changing the topic of conversation. If it's not something that's positive or healthy, change the conversation to something that's more positive or healthy. Take control of that. Ultimately, that's one of the things I'm big on, is people getting in the driver's seat of their life. That's one of the things I coach on. Like, take control of your life again. Don't let other people drive you and control your decisions and control where you go.
Snap, snap. Oh, I love that. Take control, ladies. You heard it from her. Take control of your life. Be in the driver's seat. I love that. I feel like is that your next book?
Trust me, it is written down and I am ready to.
I love that. And you know what? I really like that she mentioned to us the importance of going through the social media, because I think some women are not thinking about that. So if you could just kind of reiterate that again, I think that's really important in case they didn't get that the first time, the importance of that, which includes the virtual world as well.
Absolutely. Our virtual lives now are just as important as our in-person lives. And so go through your, the people that you follow, go through the groups that you are a member of, and see which ones aren't feeding your spirit, which ones are not feeding your heart, which ones are not feeding your mind to help you grow. If it's a lot of nonsense, remove yourself from those groups. Turn off the notifications one step at a time. It may seem like, oh my gosh, but then I'll be disconnected from everyone. No, you'll naturally then find something else to replace it with.
Okay. Because I was just going to say, I imagine if you just tell me to cut everything off, well, who am I going to have? What am I going to do? Coach Energy told me, I'm sorry, she suggested that I go and do all this. Well, who am I going to have?
Right. And that's the thing. People have that fear of, if I do all of this, if I remove all these people, or if I let go of my exes, or if I let go of my past, if I let go of all these things, then it'd just be me.
Right.
No, just, you know, slowly start the process. And as you're on your journey, other people will start to join you on this new journey.
I like, okay, well, she gave us some hope, ladies. We're not going to be by ourselves. Yeah, we're not going to be by ourselves, because I'm just thinking, wait a minute. I ain't going to have nobody. Listen, I will be the voice of reason here, because I know what some people are thinking. They just won't say it. So,
right.
Okay. So we're not going to be by ourselves. She's saying that as you let go of what's not working and the things that are not feeding your spirit, that slowly, you know, sort of piece by piece or day by day, you're going to attract new people that will have replaced the old. Is that right?
That's right. You said it so much better. You will attract other people. You, in order for you to attract new things, new people, new experiences, new levels, you have to make room.
Yes.
Because no two things can possess the same space at the same time. So you have to make room first. And that means you have to take the first step. But it's okay if you take a small step here, a small step there, and then gradually build up to it. But the hardest part is taking that first step. If you take that first step, you'll be good.
Absolutely. I agree. I agree. And yes, listen, we are very open and transparent, and I'm vulnerable, and I tell my ladies everything, because I think there's that thought, especially with social media, that, you know, you see the highlights and think people are great and wonderful and everything's so perfect. And I'm like, behind closed doors, you have no idea what's going on. Okay. So I will tell you, like I said, transformation is a process. And along this journey, yes, you are going to outgrow. I'm not going to lie. Ladies, if you're really serious in investing in yourself and going on this journey to really grow and better yourself, right? Becoming the best version of yourself, that is going to require you to let some things go, let some people go. And yes, you're going to be surprised. I'm a witness, and I'm sure Coach Energy can attest to this. You might be surprised who it'll be. It's somebody who, or people who you would never in a million years think. But it doesn't take away the fact, does not negate the fact that at that point, the two of you are no longer aligned. And so you just have to find maybe a subtle way or a gradual way to sort of navigate that. And I also believe at times that sometimes you don't even have to say anything. Because I think if you immediately are going higher, and those people are not on that frequency or vibration anymore, they will automatically fall by the wayside. Like, you don't even have to do anything sometimes, because they cannot keep up with the new energy and vibration that you're currently on. Would you agree?
Absolutely. A lot of the times you won't even have to make that phone call. A lot of the times you won't even have to initiate that conversation. Just like, anyway, as you begin to grow, people will start to see or say, you're changing.
Mm-hmm.
And then they will, maybe it could be insecurities, maybe it could be fear, maybe it could be laziness of them not wanting to do the work to change as well, to stay in your circle or stay side by side with you. You'll start to hear or see them kind of act like, you're changing. And guess what? That's right. And because we're all changing, if we put in the work, you know, who wants to remain the same person 10 years later?
Exactly.
You know, so you have to be okay with people saying or treating you as if, oh, you're changing. Then say, yes, I am. Thank you.
Ladies, did you catch that? I need to make sure you caught that. Shit. I'm sorry. Can you say that again?
No apologies. No apologies. You know, no apologies.
Yes, I am changing. Thank you. Thank you.
Respectfully, you know, respectfully. I'm big on respect, but yeah.
Absolutely. But yes, absolutely. Unapologetic. I mean, we all know, be unapologetic and authentically you. I mean, no apologies. We already know that. My queens, there's none of that going on. But as she said, you can certainly do it respectfully and don't feel bad. You know, I know based on how we women are conditioned, we have sort of this, it's something that's conditioning that's kind of in us that kind of makes us feel guilty for even putting ourselves first, feel guilty for telling somebody no, and that, oh my gosh, here I go investing in myself and I'm changing. Well, who am I to do that? Because now I'm not even in alignment with the very people who, you know, are supposed to be my people. Like, what am I supposed to do now, you know? Right. You know, so but that's kind of what happens, ladies, and it's necessary. It's a necessary part of growth, right? And so don't be afraid of it. You know, don't shrink yourself to, you know, don't minimize or shrink yourself for anyone. You know, I love the quote, which I have on my website by Marianne Williamson, which is, you know, there's nothing enlightening about shrinking so that others don't feel insecure around you.
Love
that quote. Because it's a reminder all the time that, yeah, I'm not really required to babysit your insecurities, you know? And I know based on how women were kind of conditioned, I can see sort of the tug of war, the internal struggle that we might have in kind of like, well, how am I supposed to do that? So in that sort of context, what would you advise, you know, women on in kind of this new path? Because that's what we're here for. And I know there are women that are going to take that first step after listening to you. And these changes are coming because you and I know this path and these changes are coming. So like, what would you advise her as far as just maybe getting her mindset ready? What would your advice be to her? Because she's going to take that first step.
One simple thing. If or when you start to feel those feelings of guilt, ask yourself two questions. This thing that you're embarking upon or this thing that has you feeling guilty, is it illegal or is it immoral? If it's not, then it is not guilt. So therefore, give yourself the permission and the freedom to move forward. It's that simple. We tend
I need the fan.
On.
I need to fan her. Oh, wait a minute. Where is the fan, y'all? Where's the fan?
No, because guilt is something that we as individuals, as human beings, we inappropriately assign it to something that we're doing. Mm-hmm. Yeah, of course, there are some things that, you know, our actions may have, you know, whatever certain actions may have been or decisions that we have made that are true with the feelings of guilt because they were either illegal or moral. But learn how to compare it to, okay, is this thing really illegal? Is it immoral? Like, is it like, no, if not, then it doesn't qualify as being guilty. So then give yourself permission to move forward. That's all a lot of the times when it's, when people are facing change, a lot of the times they're looking for permission. Mm-hmm. So in this moment, we give you permission to move forward.
Absolutely. Queen on, honey. Queen on, your highness, and take that first step. Honestly, because I mean, the time is now. All these different things going on in the world, like we owe it to ourselves and we deserve to take the next step to live our best lives, to do whatever is in our best interest and to put ourselves first. That is my sort of mantra. It's like, ladies, you need to put yourself first. Stop all those things that you have suppressed or repressed, you know, put them on the back burner. It's time to bring it to the forefront because this is your time now. Okay. Life is short and, you know, we just don't know. No one knows their timestamp here on earth. And I know I certainly don't want any of us leaving this earth without giving what we were supposed to, you know, come here to do. We have so many gifts and talents. I don't want those to be wasted, especially from feeling guilty, right? And so she just said, let me make sure I got it right, because we got to fan her on that one. Is it illegal or is it immoral? And if it's not, then it's not guilt.
Right.
I love that. I don't think I've heard it coined or termed in that way. That was just beautiful. It was just beautiful. Thank you, Queen Energy. So, before we go, just a quick little facts about you. Okay, just a couple questions. Okay, I'm all for, you know, seriousness, but we got to be a little lighthearted, right?
You gotta balance.
Take our tough, too serious, right? I have wine right here, ladies. Maybe you can't see it because you listen to me, but I got wine right next to me. So, all right. So we want to know about Queen Coach Energy. What is your favorite food?
Seafood.
Okay.
My bad. Was that too soon, too fast?
You know? No hesitation.
I'll let you finish the question before I answer. Let me let the question mark land first.
Okay. Question okay. Number two.
Can you tell I like food? Yes.
I know. Oh my gosh. Question number two. Would it be liquor or wine?
Okay, liquor.
Oh, okay.
I had to give a time, you know. I said right, I'm not gonna rush into this one.
Okay.
Brown to be specific.
Okay, so then, do you have a favorite drink?
At this moment in life, I've just discovered an old fashioned.
Okay,
yeah, I like those.
Okay,
I just had my first one maybe 8 months ago. Okay. So that's my. Yeah, that's my first choice now.
Okay. This queen is a wine connoisseur, but okay. Moving on. So going back to childhood, because we're a little old school. So what was your favorite cartoon character?
Ooh, I don't know if, okay. Arnold from the Rugrats.
Really? Oh, I love the Rugrats.
Wait.
See?
Wait, hold on.
Wait, no. Arnold is not Rugrats.
Hey Arnold.
No, Hey Arnold is Arnold.
Hey, yes.
So that's something different. The Rugrats, did you mean Tommy? Or
Tommy.
Chucky or whatever.
Wait a minute.
Because you know Chucky, I think it was Chucky. He's the one that was scared all the time. Tommy.
Yes. And he had the glasses.
Well, yeah, Tommy. Well, no, Chucky's the scared one all the time. But Tommy is like the main character. Which is, I guess, Angelica's
cousin.
The
little bald one.
Right.
Yeah, with the little three little twigs of hair.
I know.
Okay.
That's not true. I'm
sorry. It's been so long since I've watched those.
I
so
know.
Yeah.
Okay, so Rugrats.
I like the Rugrats and I love Hey Arnold.
Okay.
With Angelica as well. But yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Rugrats. Oh, I love. Yeah. Rugrats. They got nothing on Rugrats. Oh my gosh. Angelica and her witch self. Oh my God. I would just be laughing all the time because she's just a terror. Oh yes. My God. But then Chucky would be scared of everything. Oh my.
Poor thing. A poor thing.
I know.
Poor thing.
Okay. Hey Arnold. Yeah, I remember Hey Arnold. Yeah. Do you remember Doug?
I do remember Doug.
Doug, yeah.
I remember Doug. Yes.
Yeah. Those are old school cartoons.
One more.
Backyardigans. Which one?
The Backyardigans.
Oh, I don't think I got into that one.
Okay.
But I do know, yes. Yeah. I don't
that
think
was another
I got
favorite.
In. Okay. Oh, the backyard. Okay. Oh, goodness. Okay. So we've got Rugrats and Hey Arnold. Liquor. Your food. I'm just going to say food.
I love it.
Right, all of it. Okay. And so as a child, like what was kind of your pastime? What did you really like to do when you were young?
listen to old school music.
Ah.
Yes. Ah. Yes. Love me some old school 70s, 80s disco. That's me.
Same here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Music is definitely different. Ooh. Yeah, it's definitely, yeah. We're going to leave it there. It's definitely different nowadays. I was like, I'm going to come out with an album myself based on what's happening. No offense. Right. I'm going to do a song too. Because Yeah.
Might as well. Everybody making songs now.
Okay. Okay. All right. So I think we got through the fun facts. I feel like there's one more I'm supposed to ask, and I can't remember. I bet you it'll come to me right at the end. And I'm like, wait.
Hey, throw it in there if you can.
Right. I think it has to do with if you like theme parks or, like roller coasters, things like that. Were you ever into that?
I was up until most recently as an adult. It just kind of gives me a headache now, I guess, with age.
Okay.
But yeah, I do. There's one roller coaster that you will not catch me on, and that is the Goliath at Six Flags right here in Atlanta. Nope, you will not catch me on that thing at all.
Oh my gosh. Is that the one that goes all the way down?
It really goes all the way down, up and left to right, side to side. It does too much for me.
Oh no. Okay. Wait a minute. So did you become a party pooper?
No, because I'll still, if there's a group or even if it's just one person, we'll go on it. I'll still ride the ride.
Okay.
Except for the Goliath and anything that just does this. It just goes in a circle.
Gotcha.
It's like, why? Because when I get off, I'm gonna, be sick.
Sick.
I feel sick. Yeah. So yeah.
Okay. I'll take that. All right. I'll take that. I'm the daredevil. So I've done the skydiving and the bungee jumping and zip line. I've done all that. So
yeah. See, I can do those except for bungee jumping. I used to say I'll do bungee jumping before skydiving because it's not as high. But then I was like, well, hold on.
Oh my God. Okay. Okay. Did I lose you? Are you still there? Coach Energy, I feel like I lost you. All right, we got her back. We don't know what happened, a little technical difficulty, but listen, this is life, honey. Everything is not going to go as planned, but we just keep rolling, keep on with the punches. We are here and present for you.
That's right.
She was saying that she is not the party pooper, that she will go on a roller coaster, right?
That's right. Except the Goliath.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay. Except for the Goliath. I got it. All right. So that's cool. So no, we can have fun. So at some point in the future, I imagine we'll have an event or something and we're all going to go out and have some fun.
Oh,
I'm putting it out there now. I'm just letting you know.
Okay. Awesome.
But anyway, no, we are
what?
So.
I'll hold your purse while you take care. No? Okay.
I know she didn't just say that. After all we just talked about, that's okay. That's all right. We're still going to give her the queen love just because of who we are. We have good souls. That's all right. I'll let you have that. But we are so grateful. We are so grateful and thankful to have you come on and give us some wisdom. Tell us a little bit about your story. What's next for you? What's next for the Queen Coach Energy?
Speaking. So at this point in life, I'm doing more and more speaking gigs, speaking opportunities as a keynote speaker, and of course, still as a panelist. So for me, it's all about, as a coach, I'm typically one-to-one. Myself with one client or myself with a small group. However, as a speaker, I've really accepted the fact that it will allow me to reach more people at one time. So I can be the one person speaking to many. Mm-hmm. And so that's where I'm really pushing things. And that's where my the next part of my company is going. We're going to do more speaking opportunities.
Lovely. I love it. Yes. And I'll be in the audience for something. I'm just saying. Yes. Well, we certainly really, really love that you came on here. Let them know how they can connect with you.
Yes. So if you are into social media, you can find me anywhere by searching Coach Energy, And energy is spelled N-R-G-Y. So whether that be on Facebook, LinkedIn, Instagram, you name it. Otherwise, you can find and connect with me on my website, energyspeakslife.com. And again, energy is N-R-G-Y, speakslife.com.
And that's her real name.
That's my real name.
I know. So funny. But yeah, so we are very, very delighted. We love that. And you know, like I said, I put it already out there in the universe. We'll do some type of event and we'll be together, maybe even speakers together. And we'll have some ladies with us and we're going to push you onto those rocks. I'm just saying.
Hey, I'm game. You're going to have to keep up with me. I'm just talking.
I know. But no, we really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much for coming on the show and blessing us with your wisdom and knowledge. I'm sure the ladies got some great nuggets. I know I did, some ahas, and that's what we're here for. So until we connect next time, many blessings to you. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Enjoy.
Bye-bye.